something that has confused Christians for a long time. And I don't blame anybody, because unless God opens your eyes, some things will really confuse you. And these are well-meaning Christians, and they mean well. It's just because of what is happening in the society. So they get thrown very easily by the issue of the gift of righteousness. The gift of what? Righteousness. It has bothered a lot of Christians. It used to bother me. I used to think, if I had that kind of thing, I would just come to the conclusion, these people want people to be committing sin. I used to think like that, until God opened my eyes. I realized that if Jesus came to save us, then he can't give us anything that will make us commit sin. If we think like that, it means we don't understand what he gave us. We don't understand the value of what he gave us. So we need to talk about it tonight. The gift, God's gift of righteousness. What did I say? Romans 5:17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of what? Righteousness. And his gift of what? Righteousness. For all who receive it will live in what?
Triumph.
I thought because of it, sin will multiply. But that's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying the opposite. For all who receive it, they will live in triumph over what? Sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. So now it adds up for me. Because if Jesus gives us a gift, he can't die on the cross to save us from sin and give us something that will make us sin. It's not possible. It means that if he ever gave us anything at all, we need that thing to overcome. You may not know the value, but that doesn't mean it changes the value of what God gave you. So he's telling us those who receive it, they're the ones that will overcome sin. So you see that we need it desperately. Amen? So we said in Philippians 3:3, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Now, you see, David saw the need to rely on the Lord. And he said it even before Jesus came. In Psalm 123, verse 2, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. Until he has mercy on us. He said we look to God. We look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. We look to the Lord for his mercy. We look to the Lord for his what? His mercy. Just like a maid depends on the master for food and everything. And maintenance and sustenance. So that's the way we look to the Lord until we find his mercy. We look to the Lord for his mercy. And then Isaiah prophesied these things. You know, I was telling you that faith in Christ is not hope. There is hope of his coming. But when it's faith, it's done. Because these are promises he made to our fathers, which God fulfilled when Jesus what? Came. So it's no more what you hope for. They hoped for it. If you look, read the book of Hebrews, he said they looked forward to that promise, but didn't get it. He said they were looking forward for it. They were hoping for it. He said, but they did not get it. He said, but we got it. He said, they can't be perfect without us. He said, they were looking forward to that promise. He said, they did not see it. So they hoped for it. But when Christ came, it became a reality. So I've been saying it here. If you are living in hope, your Christian life will be watery. I'm not kidding you. You won't see much. Because it is by faith the Christian lives. Not by hope. When the Bible writes a thing, read it and follow it exactly like that. The just shall believe by what? His faith. And faith is a substance. It's believing in reality, not something that doesn't exist. Faith is about something that exists. It's evidence of things that exist, but they are not what? Seen. It's not something that's going to happen. So I've been saying this, I've been shouting it, I keep saying it. You have to shift from hope to faith if you want to see the realities of your salvation work in your life. You got to. Nobody can do it for you. So now, in this place, the prophecies were coming about Christ now. And then Isaiah said in Isaiah 45, 22, let all the world look to me for salvation. See, they began to prophesy this thing. Salvation is coming. It's coming. Let all the world look to me for salvation. For I'm God. There is no other. 23. I'm reading New Living Translation. I have sworn by my own name. I have sworn by my own name. I have spoken the truth. I will never go back on my word. What is this that God is saying? That he has sworn that will never change. What is it? Every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will confess what? Allegiance. You remember when Christ came, the Bible said God now has exalted him, that in the name of Jesus, every knee what? Will bow. That's what he's saying. You see how the prophets prophesied it was something hoped for, but when Christ came, it was fulfilled. Let's continue. The next verse. The people will declare, the Lord, come on church, let's read that one. Read it one more time.
The Lord is the source of all my righteousness
and strength. And all who were angry with him will come to him and be ashamed. All those people who don't like this statement, who think, what's all this? It will make people see. And if you read this, if you read what Paul was writing about this, he said, these people who think like that, say their destruction is coming. He said, all those who have been incensed against him, the Lord our righteousness, do be angry and not want to receive it. He said they'll be ashamed. Even when they come, they are going to be ashamed. Because they can't reign. Is this righteousness that will make them what? Reign. But they won't accept it because they think, are you saying we're going to be, people can live anyhow now? Because now, righteousness is a gift. That is kind of thinking. By the time we finish, your mind will change today. Praise the Lord. It's kind of thinking. It's religious thinking. It's thinking of people who don't know Jesus too much. He says, God has sworn an oath and will never change it, that God will be the source of our what? Righteousness. I don't know anybody who can. I don't understand how anybody will hear this and think that God doesn't know what he's talking about. And we sing it in some songs. Jesus only is amazing. And after we sing again, all our righteousness he gives us. We sing what we don't know. We sing. And thanks to what we don't believe. One time the Lord said to me, he said, do you know if Christians believe what they sing? He said the power of God will move in their life in a way they've never seen before. He said because they sing, enjoy the song, and there's no faith in it. There's no power in it. Let me repeat it here. You can't experience divine power unless you believe him. Because if you don't believe God, you're calling him a liar. It won't work for you. It won't work for you. If I'm dealing with you and you don't trust me, is that honor? So how can we relate? Husband and wife, they don't trust each other. The relationship is sour, right? You don't trust God. What does it say? You are not really God. Because I can't trust you. Because if you are God, then I can trust you. But the act of not trusting him diminishes who he is. Somebody you are dealing with says, your son comes and says, Daddy, I don't trust you. It's a serious statement. He may not say, but his actions can say so. Because actions speak what? Louder than words. So now, God says, I'm the source of all your righteousness and strength. Your righteousness is not going to come from any other source except truth. And so we must look to Jesus Christ now for that gift of what? Righteousness. Now, before Jesus came, through whom God gave us everything, there was this righteousness by works because grace has not been made available. God just was demonstrating grace to a few people. And all the people that lived in the Old Testament above, ahead of their age, were people who had revelation of grace. All of them. Enoch, the Bible said, he found grace. Moses, God showed him grace. God told him, I'll show mercy upon whom. So he enjoyed the mercy of God. Go and read your Bible. All of them. They tested the grace of God. And even Abraham. Because when Jesus came, he said, Abraham saw my days. He saw the days of abundance of grace. He enjoyed it. Because the man did absolutely nothing to qualify for God to call him. Nothing. He was just going about his business, and God came to him and said, Abraham, leave your father, leave your mother, and go to a place I will bless you. What did he do to qualify for that? Nothing. It was a choice of grace. Praise the Lord. So before the era of grace came, it was the era of works. So people couldn't depend on the grace of God. It wasn't really available to everybody. So righteousness was to be produced by men. And so God gave men laws and said, well, you finish doing, if you do all these things, then you are righteous. You have life. So about that time, the only way of attempt, remember, God has said, I will be your source of what? Righteousness. But now God gives them the law. And then the scripture says that the law was given to show man that he's a sinner, that he can't produce righteousness. So he can rush to Christ. He said, the law is a schoolmaster to teach you that you are incapable of doing these things. So you can go to Christ to be saved. Am I still talking Bible? Praise the Lord. So Galatians 3:12. And the law is not of faith. Why is it not of faith? Because it is you that has been given the law to do it. So it's not of faith. But the man who dwells them shall do what? Live in them. Romans 10:5. This is the righteousness of the law that we're talking about. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man who dwells those things shall live by them. Right? This is the struggle of the Christian. God gives you righteousness. He said, so if he gives me righteousness, what am I supposed to do? And the next question is he not going to make people commit sin? Since now, righteousness has to be what? Giving them. So the tendency is to resort to this one. The carnal mind will drift to this one. Because he says, let me produce it. Praise the Lord. Let me what? Produce it. I will show you it's a stupid choice. Foolish choice. Because now, the God says, hey, if you want to follow this, if you want to produce righteousness by the law, you have to obey it. How many of them? Now, you know, sometimes when we talk of obeying God, you know, we think, if I obey God on this, that makes me righteous. No. You obey God on what? All of them. We try to live in the present, we forget our life, the totality of our life. We don't know that God looks at us holistically, not in parts. So we come and say, you know, because I've obeyed God. God says, I should pay my debt. I paid my debt. God says, I've done that. And then you pronounce all those things you've done. Now you are righteous. And God is saying, really? Do you know the issue with the righteousness of the law? Is that 100%? It's not 99%. Church, if you want to choose that route, understand now, it is what? I want you to say, it's what? Because the moment you fell in one, the soul that sin it must what? That puts you out. You can't produce life. There's no righteousness. I'm not even going to talk about the fact that we're all born in sin. We're all born unrighteous. I'm not going there. I don't know what to do about that. Because the issue of man is not just character, it's nature. He was born sinner. The Bible says in Adam, all die. All of us. Because that which is born of flesh is flesh. And flesh will profit you what? Now flesh is trying to produce righteousness. Ridiculous. You see why God said your righteousness must come from me? Because you have all fallen. You're not everyone from Adam, death. Will you make that choice? If you know these things. Praise the Lord. See what God said in Galatians 3:11. So it is clear now. Is it not clear to us? So it is clear that no man now. Is it not clear? That no man can be made right with God by trying to keep what? The law. For the scripture says, it is through faith only that a righteous person will have life. Because you are keeping the law, then you fall in one. The law says, the same law you want to keep says, the soul that sin it. So immediately you fall in one, what happens? So you can't produce life. He said it's only through faith in Christ you can produce life, because you can't by what you're doing. It should be clear to us. And then the book of James threw a bomb. I think it's James chapter 3. I don't have it here. Where it says that if you fell in one, for the not. Why is this so? Can somebody tell me why so? Why is this so? Hi, why is this so? Why is this so? You fall in one, you fall in all. Why is this so? Why is this so? Why is this so? Why is this so? Listen to me. The reason is that it's okay. The punishment for one is the punishment for everything. The consequence is this. It doesn't need 10 to cut, to make you die. It's one. The soul that sin it just once, not 10 times. Shall what? So if you say, I didn't commit adultery, but I told a lie, you still die. Yeah. You say, Pastor, you don't, I'm so holy, I don't. If you know me, God knows my, I'm so pure. And as you are saying that, you are telling a lie. Then by the law which you want to obey, you shall all what? So he said, by the deeds of the law, you can't produce life. It's impossible. You can't produce. Let's read it again. Galatians 3:11. So it is now clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep what? The law. For the scriptures say, it is now through faith now that a righteous person has life. So you trust in Christ, you are given the gifts of righteousness, you can't produce it, and so you have life. Because if you go by the other route, you can't have life. Because even since morning, you should have died. Are you following what I'm saying? So the Bible told us it leads to death. It's a certain way to death. 2 Corinthians 3:7. New Living Translation says, the old way, telling us the way of righteousness through the law, the old way with laws etched in stone led to where? Do you understand why it leads to death? Are we still confused? Is it obvious to us? Okay, it leads to death. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face when he came down with the stone. The man had a lot of glory on his face. He said, yes, it began with that glory. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Continue, please, to it. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way? Now that the Holy Spirit is now giving what? Life. See, now life is now coming not from what you do. It's the Holy Spirit that is now. So that's why Jesus said, hey, This righteousness of the law, you couldn't get it. So now I have come that you have life. I have it what? Because what you got is debt. And so I have to go and pay the price for your debt, for all your sin. And then you can give, now get what you don't merit from me. Remember God says, I swore an oath that righteousness would be from who? Come on, from who? From him. Can, let's continue. I'm not done, please. I'm not done. If the old way which brings what? You see what one is trying to get himself into. Condemnation was glorious. How much more glorious is the new way which makes us right with God? I've always prayed, God, open our what? I used to struggle with this thing. Until God told me that you are not, if you pray, I open your eyes, I open your eyes, you understand this thing. That old way really is a world. That's why Paul said to Galatians, he said, who has bewitched you that you are going back to that old way of destruction? He said, you must, something crazy happened to you. How can you choose that thing? But today it's a struggle for many people. Gift of righteousness is a gift. These people they are making people commit sin. Yeah. You too that is rejecting righteousness is already committing sin. You know, when people say things like that, the best thing is don't even argue at all. The reason they are saying that, they mean well, but they don't have the revelation of the truth. That's all. And you can't give it to them. It's only the Spirit of God that can what? Give it to them. Open their eyes. Praise the Lord. So, look at Galatians 5:3. So you see how impossible that thing is. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that is a debtor to do the whole law. So if you want to follow that righteousness by the law, he says you are a debtor. To do what? Then James 2:10 shows up. For whoever will keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. You know, that's why God says, he said, I give you this gift of righteousness. He says, so no man can boast before me. No man can boast. It humbles you. There's nothing that humbles a man like grace. If you understand grace, you walk like Ahab the rest of your day. What are you proud of? Where is it coming from? And then the Bible says if you want to follow that way, you live under a curse. You won't live under a blessing of God. It's a dangerous thing to do. Galatians 3:10. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law, are under the curse. I didn't write it. As many as are of the works of the law are what? Under the curse. I didn't write it. I sent one video out to people to listen where this pastor was talking about a sister that had tumor. A very wonderful sister that had tumor. Very good Christian that had tumor, and that tumor will not be healed. Because she chose righteousness by the law. But another brother, God healed, who chose the righteousness of it. The Bible says if you choose this, you're under the curse. You won't get the blessing. It's not coming. Even though the sister was a very good Christian, but that tumor was not healed. Because he wanted to be justified by his what? By her works. Now, if you are justified by your works, where is Jesus? Which means Jesus is no more your way to God. You have created a new. See why? You see why the person remains under the curse? You won't enjoy the blessing. So, Look at Galatians 5 from verse 1 to 4. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of what? Bondage. You know what Paul is talking about? The yoke of the law. He called it the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you be circumcised now, Christ shall profit you what? Nothing. Why? Because you want justification by your works. Then Christ is no profit for you. What do you need him for? Since you found a way to be justified before God now, what do you need Jesus for? That's what he's saying. Jesus profits you nothing now. You don't need the cross. You don't need Jesus. I wonder how anybody can live who is a Christian and he doesn't need Jesus. And when Jesus said, without me you can do, so you don't need him. How can you? What can you do? So he says, behold, I Paul say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you what? Nothing. For I testify against every man that is circumcised, that is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whoever of you, now he's talking to Christians, he's writing to Galatian church. Whoever of you that are justified by the law, you are falling from grace. Praise the Lord. I preached this thing in Lagos somewhere, and the whole church went to war. I said to their pastor, your people are confused. If I go home, the Lord said to me, even the whole pastors are confused. I'm not kidding you. He said, they're all confused. Then when I met them in the morning, I said, you are confused. They said, we are. I said, I know. I said, so what is your problem? They said, Pastor, if not that we know you personally, and we know your type of person, we think this America has entered your head. He said, but because we know you, we know your character, we know you. You don't get involved in things if it's not true. You pastored us here before you left. He said, that's what is confusing us. Is this American way? I said, it's Bible. Praise the Lord. And what happened was, the Lord said to me, he said, don't worry about them. He said, you didn't know this before. He said, remember, you didn't know it. I said, yes, Lord. He said, so they don't. He said, they will know it. He said, you've sown a seed that will grow. He said, what you need to do is to leave them alone. He said, then God is awesome. They started to come to me. They were flying. Come, that thing. They come and say, we want to hear this thing. So, and the Lord said, I want you to pray that I will open their eyes. And I did. I said, Lord, we are just standing like this. And the Lord said, ask me, I'll open their eyes. I said, Lord, open their eyes in Jesus' name, that they will see this truth you reveal to me too. And I prayed and kept quiet. They went home. 2 weeks after, I got a letter. Pastor, this thing is true. It's like my eyes opened. I said, praise the Lord. And now they can't have enough. The Lord will open your eyes. Amen. When you see the mystery of Christ revealed to you, your struggles with life will stop. And your life will begin to bear fruit, not labor. Fruit comes not by labor. Fruit comes by sap, by supply of life that comes from the Spirit of Christ. It produces, not by you. There's no branch that makes effort to produce this. You just attach, and the thing is coming from the vine and manifesting, and people are, see, you stop all this trying to be good, and you just stop all that kind of thing. Then you see Christ transform you by his power, by his glory, and make you what you can make yourself. All this pretending to be, I tell people, I say, you go to, they say, where you go, let them know you're Christ. I say, no, I don't preach that kind of thing. Just go and live your life. Be yourself, stop pretending. Be real, because they know if you are not, but if Christ is working in you, there's no way you can light up a light and people will see. It's not possible. No. The Bible says, how can you light a light and put it under the, but you don't know, it says how everybody sees. You can't come here and say, is this light? If you ask, we'll call intervention people. Because you see it is like, if Jesus lights you up, you don't need introduction. You don't need introduction. Your wife will know it. Your children will know it. Everybody you deal with will know it. They will know it that there is something here. This is something. There is something here. Jesus is at work. They may not know it's Jesus at work, but they will see his glory. Praise the Lord. You will stop struggling in prayer. The Spirit of God will talk to you about prayer. You'll be praying prayer anyhow. I'm not kidding you. You find him talking with. I've said it. When you know Christ and focus on Jesus, your communion with the Holy Spirit will come alive. You'll be so surprised. You'll be so, even down to the food you eat, how God will talking to you about food. Down to everything. You know, one time I was driving and then one car was passing by me. I said, this is my small car. They want to belittle my car. I said, I'm going to teach this car that this small car is something. So the thing was speeding. I was speeding too. In the night, it was speeding. I said, I will show him. This my car is something. Because it was 1980 something car. So as I wanted to speed further, listen to this. Something held my leg. I couldn't press that thing. I was forcing it. It couldn't go down. And that time, the car passed me. It was highway patrol. Police. That I was competing with in my stupidity. But God intervened and held my leg. I wanted to go further. No way. That was when the thing passed me. And that's... Praise the Lord. One time I was going to Canada, the Lord said to me, he said, don't go with your Mercedes. He said, don't go with your Mercedes. So I went and rented a car. And I hadn't gone far when I ran into police. In a short place, they changed the speed limit, but my GPS has not been updated to include that small place. So the man followed me and stopped me. He said, you know the speed limit. I said, hey, officer, I'm a pastor, we keep laws. Say, we keep laws. Say, if there's anybody that keeps law, I'm a pastor. Say, you're a pastor? Say, yeah. Say, give me an ID card. I didn't have ID card. I gave him restaurant depot card that we use. It has Four Square Gospel Church. I didn't have an ID card. I've told the vicar to give us ID card. So I gave him. He said, the registration, I said, this. He said, is this your car? I said, no. He said, you rented it? I said, sure. He said, can I see the license? And I showed it to him. I said, listen, officer, you're on duty, I'm on duty. I said, I'm in a hurry. I need to be in Canada. And when pastors are in a hurry, something is pursued, they need to meet someone. I said, I have emergency too, like you have. I said, souls are emergency business. And the man said, pastor, I will stop you, be on your way. But the minute I left, the Lord said to me, if you had come with your Mercedes, he would give you a ticket. Because you're a black man. And he's a white officer. That's why he asked you, is this your car? If you had come with that Mercedes, out of jealousy, he would give you a ticket. I saw it coming. And I said, don't come with it. Are you not happy? And I said, Lord, praise the Lord. Communion with the Holy Spirit comes alive when you thrust your life into the hand of Jesus. Can I hear your name? It comes alive. This leading of the Holy Spirit is the cheapest thing. People say, how does God lead me? I'm wondering, how do you live your life? It's a common thing. God doesn't, to be led by the Spirit, you don't have to go to school. It's the natural, normal thing that happens to every Christian. Praise the Lord. And so, we're talking about the gift of righteousness, right? Okay. So now, we said that if we don't accept, if we want to walk in this law thing, then you don't want Christ. You don't want the grace of God. You want to produce what only Christ can give you. Remember, the Bible said that it is through faith that we now have life. But you don't want life through faith. You want it through what you what? Have produced. Then Christ is no use for you. That's what Paul is saying. He says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, for you have fallen from grace. You say, you don't need the grace of God, you don't need Jesus. Enjoy yourself. But I don't know how far that will take us. Now, that kind of life produces, I want you to listen to it. It produces hypocrisy. It multiplies sin in the life of people. It does not stop sin. It increases what? Sin. It makes it more. I want it to sink into you. That route of wanting to produce righteousness will multiply sin in your life. And that's why God said, don't go around. Let me give you the one that will make you reign over sin. You need God to open your eyes to understand how you can reign with what he gives you. But that's what you need to reign. But that route of trying to produce righteousness will make you sin more. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 15, 56. First Corinthians 15 what? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is what? What is the strength of sin? So when you want to produce righteousness through the law, what does it produce? A lot of it. It strengthens sin in your life. I like the way New Living Translation puts it. For sin is the thing that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. And then 57 says, but thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to walk by the law, then sin will multiply in your life. It will strengthen. And it's simple to look at it and find it in the life of the Pharisees. Look at Luke chapter 16, 14. They were people who rejected the righteousness of God. They wanted to produce this thing themselves. Like many Christians today, they say, how can this thing will produce sin? No, you don't know what they're talking about. The Bible says the law makes sin stronger. If you go to a congregation where they preach laws, you see a lot of sin. I've seen it myself. But what happens is they become hypocrites. They sweep it under what? Under the carpet. I remember one brother then. The brother would go from bus stop to bus stop looking for sisters who are going to work without covering their hair. That was his special gift. And if he sees you, he will finish you. Say you're backsliding, swallow the wall. You can't cover your hair. And one of these days, I'll teach you people about covering their hair. So you know that that thing they're teaching is not Bible at all. It's not Bible at all. Covering the hair. You don't tell my wife how to cover her hair. You don't have authority over my wife. I do. That's what the Bible says. No pastor has authority over my wife because it's not your wife. The Bible says the head of the woman is what? The man. Is that Bible? Yes. So, if the head of the woman is the man, then the head of the wife is the man. And it says the woman ought to cover her hair because of her head, to honor her head. He said if she's not doing that, then she can shave, which is shameful. Who is her head? Now, I'm the only one who tells my wife how to honor me. Now, you don't, because it's not your wife. And how she honors me, any way she does her hair honors me. Case closed. And that scripture says, because of the angels, so you cannot be dishonoring your husband while you are coming in the presence of God. By their culture then, even in our own local culture many years back, women will cover their hair to cook for their husband. Am I right? Yes. But now, if you didn't do it then, it became dishonor. And all these kindred women will come and call you and say, what you are doing to your husband is wrong. Come, am I telling lies? No. Today, do they cover? No. Eh? No. My wife doesn't cover to cook. And I'm fine. As far as I'm the head, she's not dishonoring me. So what's your problem? And once she's not dishonoring me, God says, amen. Because what Paul is talking about, dishonor. Paul was dealing with a disordered church that has a lot of disorderliness in it. He was trying to put them in. He said everything should be done in order and correct. And he wrote some of this. He said, this is not Christ, it's me. telling you this one. He said, but this one is Christ talking this one. So he was able, come on now. So you don't tell my wife, must tie her hair? Are you? Where did you come from? Go and marry her now. I'm telling you, church, set yourself free from these bondages that people are putting all over the place. Jesus gave me my wife. And I love her hair. In fact, I'll give you money to do another one. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. The Bible says I'm responsible to God for my wife. It says I'm the one to present her holy before God. It's my job. My pastor should teach me how to honor her and teach me what the Bible says. But when it comes to her hair, it's my business. Can I hear amen here?
Amen.
It's my what?
Business.
You, there are certain things nobody can do for you as regards your wife. Nobody can do those things. You are the only one authorized to do those things. No, if a pastor says, let me do these things for you. So roles are defined. Come on, church.
Yes, sir.
Can I hear amen here?
Amen.
I don't even know why I went there. Luke 16, 14. Luke 16, 14. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous. Remember these people concerning the Lord, they were what? But now they are covetous. You see what this thing produces? Covetous had all these teachings and they derided him. Self-righteousness will be, is pride. It will produce pride in you. It will multiply sin in your life. You will think you are good. You will be unteachable. You will be so proud. And pride will produce falls all over the place. Am I talking to the church?
Yes,
oh, boy. Once you have this self-righteous thing, nobody can correct you. What? Correct me. I know what I'm doing. The Bible says this, the law strengthens sin, and it's true. Absolutely true. All you, look at the Pharisees. They were hypocrites. They didn't live with those alone. They did long prayers, pretense, all over. Look at their life. So they derided Jesus. They, what is he talking about? And he said unto them, you are there, quick, justify yourselves before me. But God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination. What? What Jesus is saying, when you lift up yourself to be highly esteemed by men is an abomination by God. Because only God can lift a man up. But he knows self-righteousness will make you feel sense of entitlement. You know? Praise the Lord. And you know what greed is? Envy. Envy is nobody has the right to eat except me. So if he has something I don't have, I'm not happy because I'm the only one who has the right to have it and not him. And so if you want to teach an envious somebody something, he will think he's the one that has the right to teach you. So before you say, well, I know it. What he's trying to do is to take over from you because you don't have a right to teach. The envious person has the right to do everything except but he's the only one. How do you teach him? The law multiplies what? Luke 18:9. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Did you see what it produces? Looking down on everybody else. Have you noticed that thing before? Abba, it's so common now. Well, look, I came from background of works, serious works. You know, this works, and when we come to church, can I tell you about myself? Will you tell people? Please don't tell people. Because when we come to church, you know, we have mastered this art of bros. Good morning, brother. I hope the family is good. Praise the Lord. And then you walk quietly and sit. Brethren, we have just quarreled in the car. But bro does not know that bro has just quarreled. Because what concerned me most was not, I was in ignorance. What concerned me most was being how do I put it? Not apparent. Being part of this thing. Being part of the thing. I don't know how to put it. Joining. You know, speaking the language and acting one of the Joneses. Now, I didn't know. Let me tell you, ignorance is terrible. You see, that quarrel and things didn't mean much. The most important thing to me was, did you write your report? Yes, brother. Hi, God of mercy. That was all I knew. That was all I knew. That was all I knew. And it was so common. And so that our brother that would go from place to place. One day, he was caught red-handed with one of those women. And he left town, didn't come back again. Praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. Do you know that this doctrine of self-righteousness is predominant in so many places? Now there are Christians until money shows up. Prove me wrong. Do business with one. Bring money. Let us see if the Lord does not multiply it. Your brother, bring money now. Yeah, praise the Lord. Now if you, yeah, there's no problem, but bring money. Send him money to do some work for you. See what I'm saying? You see why Jesus said, that drought will not help you out. Come to me. I'm the only one who can change your life. So that if they give you money, you still be sincere. Even if your brother is not there, you will do everything and give account. You won't take a penny. Because you are not driven by laws. The Spirit is leading you, guiding you. And you have found the value of honesty. Because I used to think that age, wisdom, yeah, age gives some wisdom. But when the scripture says that you learn what is right and wrong as you mature in the Lord, I realize that's another means of knowing. And then I realize that if God doesn't give you a revelation of something, you might be doing it thinking you're right. Come on, church. Unless you God opens your eyes, you won't see the glory of honesty. You think you're doing it to go to heaven. No, it's a glorious life. I'm telling you. Heaven or not, you'll be honest. Because you don't have, I mean, you're not forced to. It's a glorious thing to do. You enjoy doing it. Can I hear amen? Amen. That's the difference. And that one is sustainable. Because the other one, if nobody is looking, say, I've tried. In fact, the enemy is tempting me. I've tried my best. You know, it's temptation. Then let me spend a little $200 from this one. I will pay it back. Then let me another 500. Then another 1,000. The 1,000 and the money is gone. Little by little. Praise the Lord. So, Luke 18:9. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and they see them, and the other was a despised tax collector. Who was despising him? Pharisee. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this way, I thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everyone. For I don't cheat, I don't sin, don't commit adultery. I am certainly not like that tax collector. You meet a Christian and you say, sir, hey, are you really saved? My friend, stop asking me that kind of question. Do you know me? You don't know me. You know what? Do you know how many years I've been a Christian? You're asking me this kind of question. Really? It doesn't call for that. Are you saved? Yeah, praise the Lord. I am. Simple question. I don't need your many years of a Christian. What I need is the fruit of your Christianity. If you showed it, I can tell the years without your telling me. Praise the Lord. Are you a visitor here? Can we? You people don't recognize people here. Do you know who I am? Eh? Is that how you treat people here? Bro, come, let's give you a seat among. Oh, no. You should learn how to recognize people. In our church, I'm a deacon. Is it because it happens here? Ushers, am I telling them? It happens all the time. Deacon. Deacon. Where is the fruit of deacon? Brethren, I'm telling you, self-righteousness is destructive. It makes you pompous. Because you don't find your identity in Christ. You find it in what you do. So you present it to people. See what I am, see what I do. But if you come to Christ, you die. Praise the Lord. If you want identity on Christ, you have none except what Jesus gave you. Paul says, he says, it is no longer I. So how can Paul come and be saying, I'm a deacon and all that? He's dead. Totally dead. Praise the Lord. Completely dead. Totally dead. It's no longer Paul. And so, this one that said all that, see what Jesus said about him. But the tax collector stood up a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, have mercy, be merciful to me, for I'm a sinner." 14. Then the Lord said, "I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who what? Exalt themselves will be what? Humble." What is that exalting? Self-righteousness. It will make you think you are somebody. It will really make you think you've arrived. It will make you think you are somebody. And you'll be judging others. Praise the Lord. But now God gives us the gift of righteousness. What does he do in our lives? What does this thing do? Wow, awesome. Let me read Romans 1:16, and then I read two other scriptures and I'm done. Romans 1:16, because of time. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek." 17. Can we read 17, everybody, please? 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God," what? "Revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live." He said, the first thing the gospel reveals is this righteousness of God received by faith only. Because it is written, the just shall live by his faith. So, if you want to accept the gospel, you've got to accept the gift of righteousness that God gives. That's the first thing that is revealed as against the righteousness of the law. But what does he do? What does he do? Let's see what it does. But let me even show us a couple of reasons that why we should really need this gift of righteousness from Christ. Do you know that we all have limitations and shortcomings? Do we agree? 1 Corinthians 13:8. Prophecy and speaking in 13:8. Prophecy and speaking in tongues, in unknown languages, and special knowledge will become useless. 1 Corinthians 13:8. But love will last forever. 9. Now our knowledge is partial. Is that what he said? Now our knowledge is what? And number 2, what? Incomplete. Now if my knowledge is partial and incomplete, doesn't it mean that I'm prone to error? Come on, church. And the Bible says, when we get there, we'll not know everything. To the extent my knowledge is limited, to that extent, I'm vulnerable to error. To that extent, I cannot be perfect. For what you don't know is greater than you. So the Bible says, even prayer, we don't know how to, we have infirmities. We must acknowledge the Bible as true. So my judgment is not always what? Right. So that's why I can't produce righteousness, really. So God gives me his own gift so that he can have fellowship with me and walk in me and teach me and take me from glory what? To glory. So what does he do? Philippians Philippians 1:11.
May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. Now remember, if you want the righteousness of the law, you are cut off from Christ. The Bible says so. And if you are cut off from Christ and his grace, how does Christ produce these things now? How does he produce it? I'm asking. Now, Romans 5:17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of what? Righteousness. Gift of righteousness. For all who receive it, all who receive it, will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Case closed. So instead of this make people come and say no, the Bible says no. Those who receive it are those ones who are going to live in triumph over sin. You see, the wisdom of God is not our wisdom. God says, my ways are what? He said, but when I bring my ways, they're going to look foolish to you. Because you don't understand it. He said, yeah, I've decided to use those foolish things. So now God is telling us, you want to believe me? That's why you walk by faith. You want to believe me? This gift of righteousness will make you overcome sin. Reign over sin. Make you reign in life. This gift of righteousness. For those who receive it. Because it will open you up to God walking with you in fellowship. Because if you reject it, you are cut off from grace. Cut off from Christ. You cut off the fellowship. But when you accept it, come into fellowship. You come into fellowship with Christ. And then Jesus will have opportunity to do what only him can do. Because if you are waiting the day you get everything perfect to have fellowship with him, it will never happen, because you know in short, you see in short, and your judgments are not always what? Correct. So God has no other option except to give you that gift of righteousness, so that two of you can have fellowship. Does anybody understand what I say?
Yes, sir.
So now, if you're choosing, which one will you choose? The righteousness of Christ, or the righteousness of work? Okay, Philippians 2. We close with this. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. Verse 5. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. Verse 4. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, I indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have more. Then he began to show why. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew. If there was ever one, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. 6, I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable. Like many Christians today think that this is the way. This is. Are you telling people not to obey God? No, I'm telling people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And their faith will produce the work. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith produces the work. Your life is a manifestation of your faith. That's why the Bible says, where there's no work, then there's no faith. Because if there is faith, it will produce the work. Like love. If there's love, it will show in the action. It says, so I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And so as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were very valuable, but now I consider them worthless. because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I became righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. 10. I want to know Christ too, and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him and share his death. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember how many times you've had a sermon that challenged you, challenged your conscience about what to do, and you felt so bad? How many of us have experienced that? You felt really so bad, and you stood there and decided that no more. Right? And when you go home, you felt so, you prayed some more. Even cried, right? 3 weeks after, that feeling is faded. The sense of guilt is gone. 6 weeks after, you go back to that. Come on, am I telling a lie? Okay. Do you remember how many times, even if you've done something wrong, this is not sermon. You cried, oh my God, why did I? Oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus. And you prayed, fell on the floor, cried, as if to say that the thing will wash away your sin. But you did all that, which is okay. And then for the next 1 week, you were walking like a harp, really humble. And you go near those things. No. 3 weeks after, the feeling is gone. Feeling is the language of the flesh. It's revelation you need. You know, one time the Lord said to me, he said, you can give information, I give revelation. So when you preach, don't aim for feelings. Aim for revelation. Because it is revelation that transforms a man. Feelings don't transform nobody. It makes you feel, okay. So after you cried and did all that, and then you know you got up. 3 weeks after, the feeling is gone. 6 weeks, you are back to it. In fact, sometimes you will now give it up as a bad job and accommodate it. Church, am I telling lies? That's not the way out. Can I hear amen? That's not the way out. The way out is to come to Christ and accept what is done. Say, Lord, even though I missed it, but I'm still a new creature. You made me a new creature. That's not my nature. That's not what you gave me. What you gave me is your nature, and I still believe it. Can I hear amen? Amen. The Bible said the just shall live, not by your feeling. Still believe what you did. I believe the gift of righteousness. I believe my nature has been changed. You changed me. I trust what you said. Your word is yea and amen. And God says, yeah, that's true. And then the Spirit of God has something to work with. He has the word. Because he builds all things by his word. Then he uses it to change. As a man thinketh in his heart. So as you are thinking and believing what God has done in Christ, you find your identity in Christ. You are defined in Christ. You are not defined by those feelings you have. That thing is good though. It's okay. But you need to go back to Christ where your hope lies and find your life and find your definition. A tree, a branch is defined by the vine. That's why you say this is pure. It's pure because the tree is what? It's defined. You go there and find your life and then believe who God has made you. And then you give God praise that he's working this out. And now, by those statements, your trust is in who? Christ. But the other one, you cried. You said, I won't do it again. Your trust is in who? Your feelings will wait away. 3 weeks. In fact, sometimes 2 weeks. And then when it comes back with a vengeance. I won't talk to Johnny again. If he talks to me, I won't talk to him again. If I see him, I'll take him walk. You feel it. Then you go. At 2 weeks, you won't talk. But third week, get him. Hello? Johnny, I told you not to call me. Don't call me again. This thing you're calling me. In fact, where are you, Seth?
everything through the wind. Throw everything through the wind, I'm telling you. You see, the heart is so deceitful. The Bible says nobody knows it. Only God deals with our heart, and it's through his word. You can think that your determination will help you out. It's so wonderful. But let me tell you, your victory is your faith in Christ Jesus. Those that trust in him will never be put to shame. When you trust him and accept his righteousness, accept his mercy, that's humility. That's humbling yourself and say, Lord, I'm just nothing. You make me. It's you, actually. The word you made me, I believe. I may not see it now, but I trust you. And Jesus said, you do? I said, yeah. Okay, you see my glory. Because those who believe are those who see my glory. Those things will die natural death. No effort. Nothing. You will see that thing, you won't even want it again. It dies what? And that's what the Bible says, put to death. It didn't say struggle with it. It die natural death. The desire, broke it. The new nature God gave you starts working. It starts showing. Your faith is pulling it out from the unseen realm to the what? To the seen realm. It starts working. And people who know you will say, this brother has really, you are not acting. So it is sustainable. It is consistent. What they see today, they will still see. Yeah. They won't catch you and say, I thought he changed. See what he's doing. He's steady. Why? The Lord is working, taking you from glory to glory to glory to glory. Those who receive the gift of righteousness, receive the grace of God, they are the ones that reign on earth over sin and death. Praise the Lord. Did you get what I'm saying? That will make our marriages beautiful. Oh, your wife, we say, we tell Jesus not to come yet because he's having a wonderful time. All this bickering and quarreling will stop. Praise the Lord. It will stop. Look, love does not see evil. It will stop. It doesn't matter what's happening there. The love of Christ will constrain you. You know, she's still your honey. She's still sweetheart. She's everything. You're under the influence of something. The Spirit of God envelops your life. And the surges, the rivers of living water is what? Surging. And the word fills your heart. And when you speak, you don't speak carnality. Don't speak carnality to your wife. It comes out. Instead of saying, that's the way you behave, say, you know, I love you, Lord. I love you. You know what's happening? Constrained by the Spirit of God. You are not acting by the flesh now. You are acting by the Spirit. It makes all the difference. Where people come back, bang, 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 bang. Your language comes full of love. The Bible says, even if it's the truth, speak it in love. That's the word of the Spirit. So all this quarreling will stop. This slightest in anger. Can I have the musicians, please? Pastor Victor, she will
land. You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.